Welcome to Rambam on the Line. What to Perek Revi, the fourth chapter of the Laws of Brachos, the Laws of Blessings. It's page Mem Zayin in most standard Rambams. Halacha Aleph. Kol Mevarach Brachos HaMazon or Brach Achas Mein Shalosh. Whoever says the grace after meals or the one blessing that summarizes the three blessings, that's the blessing that's said, especially after cereals and cakes, he has to say that blessing in the same place that he ate. If he was eating while walking, he should sit down where he finished and there say the after blessing. If he was eating while standing, he should sit in that place and say the afterward blessing. If he forgot to say the grace after meals and he remembered before he digested the food, he makes a blessing in the place that he remembered, even if it's not the place that he ate. If he purposely left the place that he ate, he should go back to his original place and bless there. However, if he didn't do so, he blessed where he remembered, he fulfills his obligation. Similarly, if he said the grace after meals when he was standing or walking, he does fulfill his obligation. However, in the first place, he shouldn't say the grace after meals or the one blessing summarizes the three, except when sitting and in the place that he ate. Halacha Beis. If someone is in doubt as to whether he made the blessing of Hamotzi or not, he does not have to repeat the blessing, because it's not a Torah blessing. Blessing before food is not a Torah law. If he forgot to say the blessing of Hamotzi, if he remembered before his meal was completed, he returns and says the blessing again. However, if he remembered after he finished eating, then he doesn't say the before blessing. It isn't before anymore. He's finished eating. If he was eating in one house and he interrupted his meal and went out to another house, or he was eating and his friend called him to speak to him, so he went out of the door of his house, because then he returned. Since he changed his place, he had to first make the afterward blessing on what he ate before. Then he goes back and makes the hamotzi all over again. So then he can finish his meal. The Ravid says that the Rambam is too extreme. If he's only standing at the doorway of his house, it's not considered that he uprooted his place. Certainly, if he sees the place in which he ate, should Akira call that it's not considered uprooting himself altogether. Because the Mishnah says that, no, the Rambam holds that going out of your house, even if it's just right out of the door, is in fact a difference of place, and you would have to say the blessings again. If there were a group of friends sitting and eating, they went out to a groom or a bride, if they left there a old person or a sick person, in other words, usually the young people would go out, so the elders or sickly people would stay. It's just a more common thing. It doesn't really have to be necessarily an old person, obviously. So since they left somebody there at the meal, chozalim kalman, they can return to their place, begomim sidosin, and finish their meal. In a tziach levach shniyah, they do not have to say a second blessing, since they left someone over there. If they didn't leave anybody there, when they leave, they have to have the afterward blessing of what they ate already. When they return, they have to make the blessing before eating any more food. The same is true if they were not eating bread, but they were seated at a meal in which they were drinking or eating fruit. Whoever moves his place, interrupts his eating, his meal, he says the blessing, the afterward blessing on what he ate already, and then he makes another blessing a second time in the first place for what he's going to eat. If you move your place from one corner to another in one room, in Sarach Lach Tzolavar, he doesn't have to go back and say a blessing. If he ate on the east side of a fig tree, now he wants to eat on the west side, he has to go back and say the blessing. Provided that he didn't have it in mind in the first place. So the rabbi holds, if he had in mind that he would eat at the other side of the tree, he doesn't have to say a blessing again. Because the Mishnah holds that the Rambam would argue on that. And he gives two possible ways of looking at it. One is that even though in a house, if you start at one corner and you go to another corner of the house, it's all right, you don't have to make another blessing. But here, since there are no boundaries, there are no walls, then going from place to place, like from the east to the west side of the tree, does constitute a separate place, unlike a house that's at least bounded by the walls. Another possible approach is that the criteria here is whether you see your original place or not. And when you're from one corner of the room to another, you see your original place. Whereas here, the tree is blocking off seeing your second place. Therefore, the second place is considered as a distinct one from the first place, since you don't see it, and you can't see it, and you would have to make another blessing. If you made a blessing on the bread, that frees the papyrus, sort of the side dishes, that's the dishes that you usually eat with bread, like different cooked foods and fruit and so on. If you made a blessing on the side dish, that does not cover the bread. If you made a blessing on cereal, that frees the other food that he eats. The other cooked food, does not free him from the maisikadera, from the kind of cereal foods. Now, there are different interpretations as to what papyrus means, but it's clear that the Rambam holds that it's not necessarily something whose blessing is buried mine mizonos. He explicitly says that this is fruit and so on. Nevertheless, as the Kesemish explains, we might have thought that one should fulfill the obligation of the other, even though the blessing is not the same. One explanation is, for example, let's say he made a blessing, Berkri Hadama, on the papyrus. We might think that that should fulfill the obligation of the bread, even though the bread blessing is hamotzi, because hadama, in a sense, is a more general blessing, and it could include the hamotzi also. Or another way of looking at it is that even though the blessings are not the same, we find that one thing frees the obligation of the other, or fulfills the obligation of the other. Let's say bread doesn't have the same blessing as vegetables, and yet the bread does cover the vegetables. So we might have thought it was the opposite as well. Therefore, the law stated no, that bread covers the side dishes, but not side dishes, the bread. And the cereal grains also cover the side cooked dishes, and not vice versa. If he decided not to eat or drink anymore, then he changed his mind and decided he would eat and drink. Even though he did not change his place, he has to say the blessings again. If he did not decide to stop, but he has in mind to eat and to drink, even if the whole day goes by, in the Tzarach Levar Shemis, he doesn't have to say a blessing again. The Ravid says, that when the Gemara says that if you say, let's stop, you have to say the blessings over, that applies only by drinking, not by eating. If you wash for bread, and you decided you're going to stop, you can still eat later. As far as an interruption for eating, just deciding is not enough. Either you have to either wash the water, the mayim achronim, the after water from eating, or if you fall asleep or drowse off in the middle of a meal. But other than that, the rabbit holds that you would not have to make blessings again. The Kesef Mishnah discusses at length the Gemara upon which the Rambam and the Ravid's views are based on. The text of the Gemara we have, it does seem to support the Ravid's view. However, the Kesef Mishnah feels that the Rambam had a different version, and he discusses that at length. So, according to the Rambam's version, the Rambam's opinion is justified. Halacha Ches. If they were drinking, and they said, come, let's say the grace after meals, or let's say Kiddush, the Kiddush Hayom, the sanctification of the day, if it's Shabbos. They were eating, drinking on Friday afternoon, and now it's Friday night. The law is that since they said, let us say the grace after meals, or let us say Kiddush, they're not allowed to drink until they say the grace, or say the Kiddush. If they don't want to eat and drink, or actually the Rambam just says drink, but the same would be true of eating. If they want to do that before saying the blessings afterwards, after the meal, or making Kiddush, they shouldn't do this. But if they do it, they should say a blessing. First, the blessing over the wine, in the case of drinking. Then they should drink. If they said, come, let us make the Abdullah prayer, in that case, they do not have to say the blessing over. The Rabbit says, this is mixed up. The interruption for Kiddush, even if they didn't say it, once the day becomes holy, in other words, after sunset, they have to stop, whether they said anything or not. By Abdullah, you don't have to stop just automatically when it gets dark. However, if he said, come, let's make Abdullah, then he removed himself from drinking. Then he would not be allowed to drink without a blessing. So he argues with the Rambam's opinion about Abdullah as well. Because the Mishnah explains that the Rambam interprets the Gemara differently than the Ravid. He holds that when the Gemara says that the holiness of the day makes an obligation of saying Kiddush, that that's referring only to a case where they said, let us make Kiddush. Therefore, conversely by Havdalah, where it says that the end of the day does not require the saying of Havdalah, that that's talking also in a case where they actually said, come, let us make Havdalah. Halacha test. Hayim usubin lishtus yayin abolahem min yayin acher, if they were sitting and drinking wine. And another variety of wine came. They were drinking red wine. The Vyashacha, they brought a dark wine. Or Yashner, an old kind of wine. The Vyachadosh, they were drinking old and they brought new. They did not have to make another Berfiyah Gopin, the blessing over the wine. But you do say a special blessing. Baruch Atah Hashem. We bless Hashem who is good and does good. It's for the joy of having the different wine we make a special blessing. You do not say a blessing on any food or on any beverage until it comes in front of him. If he blessed and then they brought it before him, he has to say the blessing again. He took food and he said a blessing, but not from the other, it fell from his hand. The nisufin was burned or shut for nahar, or was swept away by a river. He can't eat it. Note lacher, he takes another piece of food. He says a blessing again. Even though it's the same variety. And he has to say a special little prayer, blessed is the name of his glorious kingship forever, over the first blessing which he said, so as not to express the name of God in vain, since that blessing is not really valid. And whenever you accidentally say an invalid blessing, you say Baruch Shem, to show your respect for the name of God. Now, a person can stand on a stream of water and drink, even though the water that is in front of him when he says the blessing is not the same water that he's going to drink, because that's what he had in mind in the first place. Something, food that is eaten in the middle of the meal, and it's part of the meal. They do not eat a blessing beforehand, nor afterwards. The amalti blessing that precedes it, and the grace after meal, the birch samotzi that follows it, frees all of those foods from a separate blessing. And they're all secondary to the main meal. Things that are not for the sake of the meal, that came in the middle of the meal, They require a blessing before them and not after them. And things that come after the meal, whether it's for the sake of the meal or not, need a blessing before and after. Now we have three categories of foods here. And the Ketzer Mishnah brings two interpretations, first Rashi and then Tosfos. According to Rashi, the first category is something that comes because of the meal, and you make no blessing for it, before or after. That, according to Rashi, means something that you eat with bread. The second category, something that's not for the sake of the meal, in the middle of the meal, you make a bracha before and not after. That's like a kind of food that you're not eating with bread. For example, a kind of cereal or cabbage or other kind of vegetables. If you're not eating it with bread, you do have to say a blessing before, but not after. And the third category means things that usually come after the meal, like fruit, for example, that's usually served as a dessert. So even if you're eating it in the middle of the meal, according to Rashi's interpretation, you have to make a bracha both before as well as after. Now, Tosfos interprets all of these three cases differently. In the first case, that says something that comes for the sake of the meal, that you make no blessing, according to Tosfos, that's even something that you're not eating with bread. What Rashi considers the second category, Tosfos considers the first category. Like if you're eating vegetables and so on, even without the bread, since it usually comes as part of the meal, you don't have to say a blessing either before or after. The second category, something that comes in the meal, but it's not for the sake of the meal, according to Tosfos, that means something like fruit, that's not for the sake of the meal, which is Rashi's third category, so that tells us the second category. And something like fruit that is not really a regular part of the meal requires a blessing before, but not after. And the third category, something that's after the meal, means something literally that's eaten after you finish eating the bread, after you've decided you're not going to have bread or any of the meal. It's like a dessert that's totally after everything else, whatever that dessert may be, and then it would require a blessing before and after. Because the Mishnah says from the text of the Rambam, who quotes the Gemara pretty exactly, we can't really determine whether he follows Rashi's interpretation or Tosfos's. On the Sabbath or the festival or in a special meal that they would make when they had a bloodletting, when he comes out of a steam bath, and other such occasions, that it's common that a person have a whole big meal of wine, if he made a blessing on the wine before the actual meal, that fulfills the obligation for the wine that he's drinking after the meal proper. They used to drink wine before the meal, sometimes, during the meal, and after the meal as well. After the meal doesn't mean after the after blessing, but after they finish the main part of the meal. As Rambam explains, that after the meal means before the grace after meal, but after the meal itself has been finished. But another day, he would have to make a blessing on the wine that follows the meal also, because usually that wine is not drunk after the meal. It's only on special occasions that you drink wine, not only before, but and during, but after as well. If wine was brought to them in the middle of the meal, where in theory you could have one person say the Bari Pira Gofen and they'll all answer Amen and drink, well, you don't do that. Each individual blesses for himself. Because the mouth is not empty, shianu amen, that they should answer amen. Also, this wine that is brought in the middle of the meal does not free you from making a blessing on the wine that comes after the meal is completed.